Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined once again by my good friend, Vin Forte.
Hey.
Vin, how are you doing?
Good, good.
Vin, this episode.
Yeah.
This was one you suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was like, I don't know if I know enough to talk about
it. And then you proceeded to rattle off like 15 public
episodes. Yeah, then we went to dinner, and I was like, I remembered that I worked for a public access station.
Right, you worked for a public access
station. I don't know how I completely zoned out on that. Today's episode is about public access TV, and I don't know if you kids even know what that is.
Yeah, so public access TV is basically like when you buy your cable package, it would have like one or two channels where it was your local public access station. Basically right. What it is.
It's legally, I think it started in the 60s. It's legal. The FCC.
Every community has to have access
right.
to the public airwaves. So basically, if you wanted to, you could go down to your cable company,
yeah,
where they would have the public access studio, and you could take a couple free courses, and you could film and do a show on. It's like a college, like same rules as a college radio station. Like you go there, you take the courses, you get a time slot, you could do a show,
yeah,
same thing. Only public access was a weird phenomenon that peaked like in the 80s and 90s,
yeah,
because with the idea that you could put anything on the air, you could put anything on the air. So like New York City, for example, had a really robust public access scene,
yeah,
because that's market one, baby. That's even for like a public access station where you're thinking like, oh, who's watching this?
Yeah,
there's still like 12 million people in New York City,
right
so someone's tuning in. So that's where you would get, if you're a Howard Stern fan, like he would famously like have his people like constantly prank the public access station MNN in New York.
Right. MNN.
And I even worked on a public access show a couple years ago called The Special About Brett Davis. And that was a fun show. That was more like a comedy show, but it was on at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And owing to, again, New York City's history of having weird shit on late night,
yeah,
like Robin Bird,
uh-huh,
who was a porn star.
Uh-huh.
She would do her own show. The hell's the guy's name? From Screw Magazine. Who the fuck was that guy?
He ended up dying penniless.
Yeah.
What the hell was that guy's name? He was, oh.
Al Goldstein.
Yes. He was sad fucking guy.
He was a sad man. But he had a show. Jake Fogelness famously had a show when he was like 13 or 14 called Squirt TV.
Anybody could have a show. That's the crazy, like now media is so democratized. Like you could make YouTube videos or you can make TikToks. But this was a time where like it was still top down media. It was still people at the top making decisions for everyone else. But in public access, you could go to them and jumping through a few hoops, not too hard, you could put something on TV and be like, hey, watch this channel at this weird time because I'm going to be on TV with my thing.
Yeah, like I remember here in Staten Island, there was like a pretty robust
CTV.
Yeah, CTV. And I remember one of the big things was industrial television.
Industrial television.
Which was the epitome of cable access, where
yes,
it came on Saturday nights at like midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And was basically two old dudes. The Droogies, who had access to like all these old films and VHS tapes, and they would show like old grindhouse trailers, yes, old weird pornography. The catch was they would also show fucking horrific shit too.
Yeah,
like footage from other countries of people getting their fucking arms hacked off.
They would show industrial videos.
They would show industrial training films, and it really was the epitome of like the Wild West of cable access.
Right, but what was so fascinating, I watched it when I was a young kid. And first of all, I watched it because I wanted to look at something tantalizing, because
yeah,
you could see boobies on it. But also, what was interesting as like a young kid getting into media was they were showing you things that you would not see. And it's so hard because there's no cultural context for someone listening to now. But believe me, when I was in high school in Staten Island, like, not everybody, but like, the cool kids knew about industrial television.
Right.
They'd be like, yo, did you see industrial television? Oh, you don't even, you tell somebody about it. You don't even want to see it. You can't handle it. Like,
right.
It was like, reminds me of like Rotten.com, which is an early website that had like death photos and yeah. stuff. That kind of like thing, like this is a vault. We're opening a vault and showing it to you. And I think that was part of what was cool about it. Like they really were in some way doing something, preserving something. They right. really were. Because nobody, the Library of Congress does not give a shit about industrial videos. They do not give a shit about Grindhouse. They do not give a shit yeah. about like weird how-tos that you sell kids, yeah, show like, kids. But so that stuff just goes away. And, you know, they would show weird things. Like the amount of movies that were just like a topless woman and a guy in a gorilla suit.
Oh yeah,
that they would and they would show they would
a
show
lot
tons
of like here's the, I'm making this evil potion that's gonna turn this woman naked.
Yeah, yeah, and kind of like I guess Beavis and Butthead. That's another reference.
Yeah, because they would cut in and
they would cut in and you see the two guys watching it.
Yeah,
and sometimes they cut to them and they'd be like they'd have tape all over them like they were like stuck in the tape. I went to see, when I was a young guy, when I was a young kid, 13, 14, I wanted to be a filmmaker. And there wasn't like iPhones or even cheap cameras at that time. There wasn't YouTube. There wasn't, you know, any of that stuff. So, you know, we're talking about like 1997.
You had to go take a course.
Yeah, I went and took a course. I don't remember if it was free or not. I think it was free.
It's free.
Yeah. I went and took a course. And it was, the course is basically like, here's how to use this shit without breaking it because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple other courses like an editing course. And by editing, none of this was nonlinear. None of it was on a computer. This was tape to tape, mm-hmm. actually editing 3/4-inch video, not like VHS mm-hmm. video. And, you know, with like the two, like it was like, that's how old
yeah,
I am.
Reel to reel.
Like, and yeah, I made... looking back now with my adult sensibilities, I would make PCMC the fucking public access show. Yeah. But I was like, I don't know. I thought I was like 13-year-old kid who like wanted to be an auteur. So I was like, I made like stupid little horror movies and like little like, you know, I only did like 2 or 3 things or something. But I went there and I hung out there a lot and I had some interesting experiences there because once you were part of the community, you were on a list where they would sometimes ask you to come and volunteer and work on shows.
Yeah, that was like your payment for getting to...
Right. Yeah, because people would basically, like, you'd share crews and stuff.
Yeah.
One time they were like, hey, can you come in Sunday morning? We've got a religious show. And it was, I don't know what, it was like a Baptist religious show. It was like, I don't know what it was, but it was like... I think I was the camera operator because it was like a studio. Like,
oh yeah,
they allowed you to come
big
in. You brought
screen,
your own shit.
Like...
Yeah, yeah. These people brought their own desk and their own like flowers, whatever. And I remember beforehand, the host was like, "Let's all pray," and I was like, "I was like had one eye closed, like, oh god, this is not. I don't belong in this place." And wrestling show. I also worked on a wrestling show. I think also as like a cameraman. And this was just two nerdy kids talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
It's basically Wrestle Rap.
Yeah,
you know,
well, they were more memorabilia. They would always just have.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the show was, it was just like a table with like that subject's like memorabilia on it.
Right. And they would do like, because I was into film, like to me, I was like, oh, you got to edit. But like some of these things were barely edited.
One take.
Because you also, there were no commercials. So you didn't have to come in at any time. You could kind of just make anything and put it on. And it's they like, would put it on. They'd be like, oh, your thing's going to air at 10:06 on Sunday morning.
Well, it's funny because you're right, there's a lot of like tropes of public access.
Right. We should say a good touchstone for this is in the night, even into the 2000s, SNL did a lot of sketches that were supposed to be public access. Right. Wayne's World was supposed to be public access. Coffee Talk was supposed to be public access. The one way into the 2000s where it's like the little girls at a sleepover party, that's supposed to be public access. That's maybe the reference that a younger person might get.
Probably.
It was cheap. It was cheap stuff. Like,
but it was like you could have your own show.
Right. And some weirdo was going to watch it.
Right. And you mentioned, like, we'll get into some of the tropes and just jump around, like, the token, like, religious show.
Yes, always.
Because there was the token religious show, and it would always be the token atheist show.
Yes.
And the token atheist show was actually almost, like, more annoying.
Yeah.
Because it would always be, like, a guy and a girl in like black turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Just like debunking the Bible, being like, well, it says in Anthony 5:32 that blah, blah, blah. But we know that that can't be possible because you can't mix hydrogen and carbon. It's like,
yeah,
great.
I'm basically a lifelong atheist. Like the minute I was old enough to like think I was an atheist, I remember when I was in college, there was an atheist club and God, I did not want to be a part of it. I remember like, imagine like some like skinny pimply kid with like long greasy black hair, but with like with Bill Maher smugness. Like, hey, you got to join the atheist. And it's like, so you guys just sit around and talk about how stupid religious people are. That's your life.
Right.
Your life is based.
You're just living it.
Yeah. Your whole life is based on how much we are better than these other people.
Yeah. That's like for a while I was watching like some Richard Dawkins.
Oh, yeah.
And and there came a turning point where I think we both were like, this guy ain't it.
Well, 1 year for my birthday,
I got you a book.
Yes, you got me his autobiography.
And I was like, oh, Mike might like this.
And I tried to read it.
Right. It would have been a safe, like, you can't fault me for, like, it was a safe bet.
It's a gamble itself. It's always a gamble.
But, like, the book itself, like, it was just like, this ain't it. Like, once you're digging into the man's head and actually, like.
Well, he's super, super privileged and comes from wealth. Like, in the first chapters, he's talking finally about the servants in his house. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, this ain't it. Well, you bring like, up the help in chapter one.
Yeah, like oh, no. Yeah. This is.
Might be a lost cause, my guy.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah, we're on a tangent. But yeah, I had a time where I was more strident. You know, like Richard Dawkins,
Christopher Hitchens,
Daniel Dennett. Fucking Sam Harris was the fucking. He's just really out there now.
Well, a lot of those guys are out there now, and it's.
Well, Hitchens became super like. He would get super homophobic and super sexist, and super. After 9/11, Hitchens got very Islamophobic.
Yeah, yeah. It's anytime I see someone on YouTube making an argument while smoking a cigar.
Yeah,
I know. Like, I got to turn this off right away.
Who was that? Hitchens.
No, it's just anyone.
Oh, okay.
Like, whenever you see, like, a clip, and you're like, oh, what is it? It's like, oh, this is the Joe Rogan podcast, and it's like someone smoking a big cigar.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the globalists.
Yeah, I always found that I never wanted to join atheist clubs and stuff, because whenever I would, like, dip a toe in, it was the get you in was, like, atheism. But then, like, just, like, scratch the surface a little bit, it would be, like, oh, it's anti-Semitism. This is an anti-Semite group.
It's like, oh, get you in of atheism. And that's like, yeah, well, you know, these Jews are, it's like, oh, whoa, what's going on here?
And they're like, come on, this is what it's about. And I was like,
this is what it's about.
Yeah.
But back to public access.
You know what else there was? An alien show. There was always a UFO, let's talk about it, are they really out there show.
Yes.
And a lot of times it would be a host who's super into it, and like his buddy who like barely can talk and is like just there sitting.
Right, like,
and
so he's like, Jeff, what do you think about this? Like,
oh man, it's crazy.
Messed up.
It's messed up, man.
Yeah.
You think they're really out there?
No, maybe.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they're out there. Let's look at this photo.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the same old shit that you've seen a million times.
Yeah, it's always like way too much analyzing of the photo. It's like, well, if you look at this, if we magnify this 15 times and then look at this light source. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then I don't know if this was a trope everywhere, but there was a very famous one here on Staten Island. I won't say her name, but she was a singer, or she wanted to be a singer.
Oh, she just did karaoke.
It was just this woman doing karaoke, and I guess she thought it would propel her singing career. And she was not a great singer.
No.
And she did not have great charisma.
She was basically great value Cyndi Lauper.
Yes. She was Kirkland Brand. Cyndi, it's like, oh, do you guys have Coke? No. Oh, wait, do you have Pepsi? No. We had RC. It's warm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what she was. Which is fine because she was a regular human.
Right.
Regular person, but... you know, I've got to admit that, like, many a time
I'd watch it with my friends and just goof on it.
Oh yeah, because it was always the same. Like,
because it's so earnest. It's so
like,
earnest,
and her backgrounds were fucking weird. It was like her backgrounds were always like a fucking like fish tank, and like,
yeah,
she'd have these feather boas.
And I feel like I watched her Christmas special a lot. She had like a Christmas special. Do you remember that?
A couple people who had some Christmas specials. So
yeah,
there was her Christmas special. We're not gonna say her name.
No.
Then there was a guy who was a doctor.
Yeah.
Who did like a regular show about like health and fitness.
Yeah.
But every December, like several times a week, he would do a Yule log, and it was just a bad MS Paint like GIF background. But he would be in his rocking chair with his little Boston Terrier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like every once in a while, the camera would zoom in and he'd just be like, ha, ha, ha. And then like sometimes it would zoom in on the dog. So it was this weird like, okay, when's it going to zoom in? Like, you could play a drinking game with it. But then here's the best part.
Yeah.
Our friends John Zaluga and Chris Sorrentino.
Yeah.
From Super Live Adventure Podcast, also named Staten Islanders. They did comedy at the time, and they did a parody of that. So this guy was the Dr. Dolan show.
Uh-huh.
He did the Dolan Yule Log.
Okay.
And so Chris and John did a parody of the Dolan Yule Log, but for St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh.
And they made a MS Paint, like, fucking leprechaun, like, dancing behind Chris Sorrentino in a rocking
chair. Baby Belushi? You mean Baby Belushi?
Baby Belushi. in a rocking chair with a stuffed dog, and like nothing would happen. He'd just be sitting there in the chair. Then like every couple minutes, like something dire would happen. Like he would like start ripping the dog apart. He would like pull his pants down and show his ass. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You just do like crazy stuff.
Yeah, you could do anything. You could do anything. And by the way, when they had nothing to show, they had like an interactive game where you would play trivia with your phone.
Oh yes,
and it was
what
like
do you do.
Yeah, it was just like. It was just like on screen would be it like kind of like the trivia you sometimes see before movies. It would just be that on the screen and it'd be like call in and dial one for this answer. And like you wouldn't win anything. It was just
A game you could play on your
interactive.
Phone.
Interactive.
Yeah, it was interactive.
And when I say
game.
Phone, I mean
phone.
The rotary telephone.
Yeah.
The phone in your kitchen.
Yeah. And there were like several games. One was like a trivia game. And there were a bunch of them that were like almost like choose your own adventure, but like choose the right decision.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where it would be like, there's a truck coming at you. Like, do you jump out of the way or do you try and flag it down? Like,
right, right. You know what else they played a lot? And I don't know if this was everywhere or just where we are in Staten Island. They would play Sweet 16 videos because
Joey G's Making Memories.
Right. Because this company, this video company would
kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Like
they would
free marketing.
It was basically like wedding videos, but for Sweet 16s. So you'd hire them. They would film everything. They would get testimonials and they would cut it together and you have a cool little video. Basically just like a wedding video.
Right.
But this guy, I guess he would have them sign releases that he could show it. So he would just show random kids.
Right. And it like, was like oddly kids. Fascinating. Like,
right. Because it's like you would be like, look, it's Jenna's Sweet 16. And, you know, a lot of like quick cutting and like, you know.
It was
know,
basically like, let's see how Italian these people are.
15-year-olds cutting loose.
There was a lot of the best part of Joey G's Making Memories, which is to say the best part of a Sweet 16 video.
Yeah.
Is when they would pass the mic around.
Yeah.
And it would be like, you get something like, happy Sweet 16 to Jen from Nanny and Pop Pop. We love you very much. And
like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just really awkward. Like, so, like an old lady would get handed my, like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I'll have the chicken. And oh, this is for Jenny. It's for Dottie. Okay. Like
or some
so
kid
weird.
Would do like some little boy would do an in joke and it's like, okay. The candles. You kids don't even fucking realize you've got all the fucking Disney Pluses and Paramount.
Yeah, this
like,
is how we off sat we were just sit and watch Sweet 16 videos.
We watched Stranger's Sweet 16 videos and we liked it.
Yeah. Not my Super Sweet 16.
No.
Not Teen Mom.
No.
Like, an actual, just, like, some fucking jabroni's Sweet 16 video.
Right. I wonder if that worked for that person. If they
It had to. If everyone knew, like, oh, yeah, you want to see Joey G's Making Memories.
Oh, boy.
But so yeah, so that was the number two. Then there were just people who just wanted to put whatever the fuck on, because there was a guy, and he would do a show, but it was basically just him showing his home movies.
Uh huh.
And when I say home movies, it could be anything from like him and his wife going to like a trip to Arizona and showing off the sights. To I remember an episode where it was just him going through his shirt drawer and showing off his different shirts.
Wow.
Like his novelty shirts.
A lot of this is stuff like, if you're familiar with Tim and Eric's work, they get a lot
very
of...
Very much so.
Yeah, they're very inspired by this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's this weird... It's almost like the photography of Diane Arbus. It's like earnestness coming from the subjects, but the subjects are, in their sincerity, are unaware of how talentless and uninteresting they are. Also, the medium is very, very shabby. So yeah. It's this weird...
It's like we're doing our best.
Yeah, it's this weird, like, look into a real person's life in a way that you don't... It's not like now kids are bored. Like, you look at TikToks now, it's like, some people are very talented. Like,
yeah, you could slap together, like, something slick with your iPhone.
Right. I mean, God. Another show I didn't work on this. I was a guest on this. When I was, like, 18, 19, I did comedy. I would go to stand-up clubs, but we mostly did sketch. It was me and two other guys, and we called ourselves the Cousin Brothers. And it was, like, we used to... It's a little bit... I guess, like, Three Stooges, but it was nothing like that because it was, like, violent and very, you know... alty, but like we weren't characters. It wasn't like, it wasn't improv, and it wasn't, you know, we're doing a sketch where we're in a bank. Like, we would go on stage and be like, hi, I'm Mike, I'm whoever, and then we would do our bit with each other, and sometimes things would be meant to look spontaneous. Anyway, I got invited on this show, and I don't want to say this guy's name. This was like a young...
This guy's still around.
Yeah, and he was a young conservative. He was kind of like a Ben Shapiro before Ben Shapiro. Although he wasn't big like Ben Shapiro. No. But he was like this... You know, like those guys where like they're young and they're super conservative and you're like, come on, you're young. Like,
have a little more fun.
Yeah,
cut loose
yeah.
a little.
And he was like, come on and do a set with no audience. So this is... Don't cancel me, but as a bit... Well, let me bring you back to the time. This was at this time, Gwen Stefani was doing this cultural appropriation thing where she was like big into Japan, and she had her Harajuku girls who were like these Japanese girls who would like stand behind her. I mean, yeah. She'd get canceled for this now, but we were all about it in the early 2000s. So I had a friend of mine just stand behind me dressed up. She wasn't in yellow face. It wasn't that bad. But she was dressed in that cool style, and she just stood behind me silently. And I didn't mention her. I waited for him to be like, who's your friend? And I was like, oh, this is my Harajuku girl. He's like, okay, do your set. I don't even remember if I had written jokes or not. And there was no audience, so no one was doing anything. And I was like, I had a joke where the punchline was big black dildo. And then he was like, whoa, okay, I don't know if we could say that. And I was like, we can't say what, big black dildo?
I don't know if we could say, you're on public access.
I kept saying big black dildo. And then he cut me off, and I'm just sitting there. And then he was like, okay, next week on the show, we got a big guest, Bernhard Goetz.
The vigilante subway shooter.
Yeah, this was a guy who, in the 80s, he was, I think two kids were mugging him, and they were people of color. And he, like, shot them and, like, paralyzed one of them. And conservative media at the time, like, turned him into a hero. Like, this guy fights crime. This poor guy was just driving a train in these thugs. But, you know, it was real ugly. And, you know, the more we learned about him, the more we learned that he was just a fucking psycho. Like, he would write letters to the guys that he shot. Like, he was just a piece of shit. But conservatives liked him. And this was way beyond when anyone should have ever cared about him. This was like the early 2000s.
Right.
And it was like, Bernhard Goetz is coming on next week. And I was like, whoa, really? You got any murderers coming on? What about Adolf Hitler? And he was just like, he just like shushed me. And then like when it cut, he just walked away from me.
Walked away.
So that was my weird experience, saying big black dildo and being cut off and...
how dare you disrespect Bernhard?
Big guest. That was the big get for next week. Bernhard guest. 20 years after his relevance, and 15 years after we all realized he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what you get. That's it's so. It was so cheap, but in a glorious way.
Yeah. Yeah. definitely, I'm trying to think of any other tropes. There were like, you kind of mentioned it, but like the local sports shows, which was the same as the wrestling show.
Yeah. Two dudes behind a desk just talking about what happened that week.
But like not even interesting conversation. No, like, I do just a sports podcast. You gotta make it like,
right,
you know, put some cultural context into it, you know, jazz it. Nobody wants to just hear like,
yeah,
the Mets scored 15 points and the Yankees scored 12 points. But that's what the fucking public access shows were.
And you know what the bummer was with a lot of the wrestling ones? A lot of them were all still in like kayfabe. So like they'd be talking about the storylines, which is like now wrestling shows are better because you're talking about the craft of it. And if you're talking about the storylines, you're talking about it as like a plot that's written and how will they work this plot out.
Right.
But these guys used to be like, wow, did you see him come out? That was a big surprise. What do you think is going to happen? Like they would just stay. And I don't know if they were trying to keep up kayfabe or they were like just dumb enough to believe it.
But you're right. They were just like, oh man, can't believe John Cena got stabbed in that parking lot this weekend. Like,
yeah.
Hey, do you think Eddie Guerrero is really going to get away with it? I don't know. Like,
hey, just this is a sidebar. You would know this. What's going on with Vince McMahon? He got canceled?
Well, he is no longer the head of the WWE.
But did he step down due to a cancellation or something?
He stepped down due to cancellation because there's an ongoing investigation right now where he paid, when I say millions, I'm talking like tens of millions.
Really?
To women to like keep quiet about like some sex shit.
His sex shit or a wrestler's sex shit?
His stuff. But he used, the big thing was like apparently he used company money.
Oh, I guess that's the end of his wife's political career too.
Yeah.
Remember when his wife was like trying to like be a congresswoman or something?
Yeah, they pumped a lot of money into that and didn't go anywhere.
So now he wasn't just the head. He was also the character.
He was
of
the head of creative.
But wasn't he, as a character, he was like the boss, right?
Yeah.
So like who's in that place now?
So now Stephanie McMahon is running the company. Basically,
really,
Stephanie McMahon
or in the story?
Really and in the story. Because like the head of the company is the head of the company. Mm. Like it's not like they, you know, hired a nobody to take over. Like his daughter's taking over.
Okay.
But Triple H is taking over head of creative, which has been a blessing because for a long time, and even non-wrestling fans like you may have heard, that like Vince McMahon has been way out of touch for a very long time. And the product has, despite having like flashes of moments here and there, again, much like we were talking about last episode, where we talked about Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek.
Right. It's better without the creator.
It extends to wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Vince McMahon had his hands on too much stuff. Like, he would do segments, and his idea of comedy would be, like, fart jokes and, like, borderline homophobic shit. And
the N-word?
Yeah, well, there's that famous clip.
Where he says the N-word?
Yeah.
But he's supposed to look out of touch in it, I guess, is
but
the
he still said,
joke.
Like,
he still said it on television.
Yeah, like, he walked right up to John Cena and was like, what up, my N-word? Like,
yeah.
But he's out now, Triple H is in, and already, like, people thought, like, okay, well, it's going to be a while until they make some changes. Can't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You can't undo everything. They're making a statement. Like, if you talk to anyone who's into wrestling in the past month, like, that's the big story that, like,
we should start a public access show about it.
I should talk to Emilio and be like, you know what? Let's get out of this podcast game. Let's get into public access.
What do you think would reach a bigger audience? Public access show or a Facebook Live show?
A Facebook Live show today.
Yeah, probably.
Because public access, you can only do so much with.
This is going to sound pretentious.
Although when I worked on the special about Brett Davis, it was half public access, but that was more like a means to an end.
Uh-huh.
Because we would put the shows on YouTube.
Talk about that experience some more. What was that? What was it, a talk show? Was it a sketch show? What was it?
It was like a parody of a like sort of late night show.
And this was, wasn't this in the slot that the Chris Gethard show was in?
Yes, yes. So this took over
which was
for
a
Chris
famous,
Gethard.
Right, which was itself a
famous.
A famous fucking public access show.
Yeah, so this took over for Chris Gethard, basically like spun off from it.
Yeah.
And basically every week would be like a new conceit. My friend Brett Davis would host it. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. And it was called The Special Without Brett Davis because every week would be like an hour-long special, and he wouldn't be, like, he would be playing a main character.
Uh-huh.
So it was, like, without him.
Uh-huh.
And the first episode, he dies. So that does that. But we would do everything from, like, a traditional talk show episode that would then get, like, something we would do is, like, sometimes we would do episodes where it would start out as a normal talk show, but then, like, one or two elements would be introduced, and it would just, like, spin off into, like, weirdness by the end. And then some stuff was, like, a weird slow burn. Like, one of my favorites, this is, like, right before I started working on it, but there's a show that I implore people to look up. It's one of my favorite things in comedy in the past 10 years.
Wow.
But it's a slow burn. You have to stick with it. It's a full hour. But it's called Total Nonstop Dancing. And it's filmed like an 80s like dance, like Soul Train style show.
Yeah.
The same song throughout the entire episode looping.
Yeah.
They do a cycle where like they where like Brett talks to someone. They show footage of people dancing. They bring in like actual like dancers that do like breakdancing kind of stuff. And then once they do one cycle, it loops around again. And you're like, wait a minute, didn't they do this? And then every time it loops around, it's like something's off. And then like 38 minutes into the episode, it's revealed that there's a gas leak. And everyone is just like fucking affected by this gas leak.
That's incredible.
And like by the end of the episode, there's like a construction worker walking around going like, can anybody, like, you guys got to get out of here. Like, can anybody even hear me? Like, hello? Like it just gets so weird.
I love going all in on one joke.
Oh, I did that a lot. Like, and we did a wrestling special too, where we had Special Mania, where we had actual wrestlers come and break shit on the set.
Really?
People smash people through tables. WWE superstar Lita was there.
What did you do, write?
Write and sometimes show up in episodes.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was a blast because, again, that freedom.
Yeah.
Like, we did a Christmas episode that I'll never forget where it was Lloyd Kaufman from Troma.
From Troma, yeah.
And the gist of the episode was for the first, like, 5 minutes, it starts out almost like a Bing Crosby style Christmas special.
Yeah.
We had a guy we brought in who's like smooth voice, like starts singing smooth Christmas carols. And then all of a sudden, we brought in this guy named Weird Luke, who looked like a, and all his cronies, who basically looked like the Legion of Doom, like people who would be in a Troma film.
Yeah, okay.
And who had connections to Troma. So like, they show up and take over the show.
Yeah.
And Lloyd Kaufman's there and like, this guy I know was a writer for Colbert, like he was there too, and like we basically did a whole episode where they take over and start like beating the shit out of each other and ruining the set. At one point, Weird Luke headbutts someone, and it's a real headbutt. And if you go back and watch it, like it looks bad.
And what's Lloyd Kaufman doing?
Lloyd Kaufman was basically there to lie through his teeth. Lloyd Kaufman basically spun a bunch of, I love Lloyd Kaufman, but he spun a bunch of yarns.
I created the first superhero from New Jersey.
It's a lot
of shit like that.
Yeah, well, he claimed that he created the shared superhero universe.
Well, what? You've got Kabuki Man?
Kabuki Man.
And Toxic Adventure. And they did cross over. So
I guess he's not technically
I guess he's absolutely right.
I guess so.
I mean, if you don't count, well, it's not superheroes, but the Universal Monsters crossed over.
Yeah.
And also, the superheroes crossed over in the comics forever.
Yes.
That Lloyd Kaufman's a fucking liar. What other guests were there? What other cool people did you meet?
We did an episode where we had Gilbert Gottfried.
Ooh.
Did an episode.
That's awesome.
That involved Rumspringa.
Okay.
A lot of Amish people.
Yes.
And Gilbert Gottfried was just, he was exactly like Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, God bless him.
Like, he was like, what is that? Like, just, but he was so nice, apparently.
Yeah, I heard he was nice.
Richard Kind.
Get out of here, really?
Richard Kind did an episode.
What did he do?
He was just a guest.
That's fucking awesome.
We did an episode.
See, you wouldn't get that in, like, Nebraska.
No.
Like, this is New York City public access.
Right. Like we
Not
did a
to
whole,
put that down. But.
No, but, like, we did a whole episode where Andre the Giant comes back from heaven for one night and hosts a talk show. And we interviewed Box Brown, who wrote the graphic novel biography.
Who played?
Brett played Andre the Giant. But like we stacked like two tables on top of each other.
Yeah.
And like put up a big thing so like you could just sit high up. And every time, and we did this in post for YouTube, there were a bunch of gags where he would like reach out to or shake someone's hand, or he's like, oh, hand me a soda. And like in post, we would have just like this this giant hand and like a tiny soda.
Now, what was the production like? Did you go live or was it taped?
It was live.
Oh, it was live.
Yeah, so it was live going out to all of Manhattan.
Which is not always what happened. Like, I remember when I worked at CTV, like, a lot of the shows I did...
Most of it was pre...
Right, but live was an option. You kind of had to, like, earn that. You had to, like, work
your
way...
You had to trust.
Yeah, you had to work your way up that they knew you could do it and not be insane.
Right.
So I never worked on a live show, I don't think. So that was live. So was there any... They say it...
Oh, was there any controversy?
Well, I was going to say they say...
Because there was an episode where fucking... who's the guy from Party Monster? I'm blanking on the name.
The actual guy? Oh, the actual guy?
Michael Alec.
The killer?
Yes.
Okay.
He showed up.
Why not? Okay.
Because there was an episode where basically like they did like a two-parter where Brett gets like fired from the real show, Special with Brett Davis.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to retake the show. But in that interim for the next episode, his replacement is fucking, what's his face? The guy who won the wannabe a VJ contest.
Oh, Jesse
Camp.
Yes.
So Jesse Camp hosted an episode and they just let him like do whatever. They're like, he was like, can I bring my friends? And they're just like, yeah, fucking bring your friends. And all his friends were people from, like, the Party Monster scene.
Oh, shit.
And one of them was noted murderer Michael Alec, who's now
the one who
dead.
Macaulay Culkin played, right?
Yes.
In that movie. Wow.
And that was wild, because apparently, like, a lot of those people, like someone started a fire. Didn't get out of control, but, like, they just, like, lit something on fire and quickly played out. People were, like, doing... coke and like
wow,
people were like fucking, there were like dominatrixes showing it, like it was pretty wild.
That's fun. So I know it's public access and I know like it's First Amendment and stuff, but and there's no like standards in practice, but was there anybody with authority who said anything to you? Was there anybody who was like
that would more be a question for Brett, but my understanding is that there like no real complaints.
Okay.
And that was more just like basically he had someone in the building, like that trusted him, and like it wasn't like anything was being kept secret.
Would you like show nudity and curse and stuff?
Oh, cursing, yeah. I think we strayed pretty far away from nudity.
Okay,
because it wasn't our thing. But like
you would say whatever.
But, yeah, but saying whatever, yeah.
Okay, and it wasn't a problem. Wow, wow. How many years did you do that?
Just a couple of years.
Well, yeah, yeah. And the stuff's still available online, though, right?
Oh, yeah. It's on YouTube.
What would you look it under?
Just the special about Brett Davis.
Okay. Is it its own channel? It's just
the
episode.
Own channel.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, so you like you did like something big kind
and
of.
And that was fun because that was basically every Wednesday night for a couple of years. Like my friend, rest in peace, Steve Whalen, would pick me up. And we would go into the city every Wednesday night.
He wrote on it too?
Yeah. He was Mr. Jokes. He was a character.
Right.
So, like, regardless of the setting, he would always show up as Mr. Jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a good guy. He passed away.
Yeah.
He was a funny guy because I remember one time we were at a party and there were children. And he was, like, telling kid jokes to kids. But, like, with the same delivery, he would do any joke.
Right.
And it was like he was sincerely doing it. And it was, there was some, I don't know, I found something about that to be like, what a real craftsman. Like,
right.
What
a, oh, like, well, he was definitely a real craftsman.
Yeah.
Like, he would live stream all the time, him working out and like writing jokes.
Yeah. See, that's kind of the thing that was cool about public access was genuine weirdos. The kind of people that you don't see in mainstream media. And it's weird, like, when you look, if you were, it's hard to compare it to something like new media, like TikTok or something, because what you've got now is, like, amateurs, but the but amateur is the standard, but also.
Right, but there's also a swiftness to it. Like,
right.
Like, even just talking, like, I even just said, like, I had to drive into the city.
Right.
On a Wednesday night, and, like, that was my night.
Right, right, right.
Like, there wasn't, like, oh, let me pop my phone off. And, you know, throw up a TikTok.
Right, right, right. Well, yeah. But what I'm thinking is, like, what you have now in new media is, like, amateurs, but the amateurs, because they live in such a media soaked world, they're kind of good. But what you had with a lot.
Oh, you're saying the genuine earnestness.
Yeah, what you had with a lot of public access was like more than like kind of like semi, like people who had. Could sing, people who like did no jokes, like people who were like kind of, or like a lot of people did song parodies, right? Mm-hmm. Tons of song parodies shows you'd see on Public Access. So, but like, I don't know what the point I'm trying to make. It's
I think I get what you're saying, that like there was a genuineness to.
It's almost like it's not just a different medium, it was different people because it was a different culture.
Right. Like you would never have, like on Public Access, you could have an old lady. Who thought like, well, I could put this
TV right,
but like that person would not pick up a phone and do TikTok and shit.
Right,
now.
Right. Also, there's so much of it now that you know there's an algorithm and there's like voting in a way. So like, there's plenty of shitty TikTokers that never go anywhere or you never see. You see right. The stuff that gets passed around and redone and stuff. There was no bar to entry, really.
No, like, you know who had a show on, you know who was the show that was on after us at midnight?
Who?
On MNN. Do you remember, does the name Jonah Falcon ring a bell?
No.
He was a guy who would be on Stern in a while.
Like a whack packer?
No, but like, he was this, like an average looking guy, kind of schlubby, but he was the guy who had like the world's largest penis. He was that guy. Where he would go on and talk about like, it's too big. It hurts. Like, it's wide and long. Like,
wow.
But this guy, he had a video game on after where he would just show clips of video games.
But like, nothing about his dick?
Nothing about his dick.
So the dick is not mentioned.
You wouldn't even know he had a dick.
It's a video game show.
It's just a video game show. Hey,
it's new Street Fighter. Playing games?
No, like him showing clips. Like, hey, new Street Fighter is coming out. Here's a clip of.
That's so weird.
Here's a trailer.
Again, compare that to now where like there are some millionaire streamers who play and are entertaining while they play and people watch their stream and or go on Discord and watch them and like they're making tons of money. I'll be naive. I don't even know if it really exists anymore because I don't watch cable. I don't watch TV. I rarely turn on. I only watch streaming things.
Right.
So I wouldn't even. I'd have to go home and turn on the cable and like, you know,
see what
go around and see if I could find something. But I don't even know what in today's age would do that instead of something easier like a YouTube channel.
Right.
You know what, though? Kind of what we're doing right now, a podcast, is kind of in that history in a way.
Absolutely.
I mean, the way that I like to think of PCMC is almost like a zine. Like, it's rough, but there's good things about it.
But you're right. All the stuff that was on Public Access, like, a talk show could be a podcast now. Even the interactive stuff, like call up and play live chess with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's just on Twitch now.
It's all notice it's because the media is democratized. Like all you need is like right now we have like a recorder that I think I spent like $200 on.
Mm-hmm.
And like these mics are like $200 each or whatever. But like these are newer mics. I had cheaper mics for years.
Yeah.
Like that's all you need. Like you don't have to pay iTunes. Like once you have, you record it and you edit it or don't fucking edit it. And then once you have it on Apple, it's very easy to then put it on Stitcher, to put it on Spotify, and then you have a podcast that people can listen to. So it was almost a little bit harder because there was more effort. You had to like slip down
there. Go somewhere and make something.
Yeah, you had to learn how to use a gigantic, heavy as fuck, 3¾-inch video camera and learn how to edit that if you were going to edit it. And editing was harder back then. Like I said, it was tape to tape. So like dubbing in music, even like doing credits, like if you had to do credits, right, you had to make each credit like, you know, written by, directed by, starring its own thing and have them available. And then you had a board and each credit was its own switch and you'd have to like push it up and then pull it down. And you'd try to time it so it looked like it made... You wouldn't want it one to be slow and one to be fast.
Yeah.
It was all so physical. It was all so, like, hands-on. And it's nothing like that anymore.
No, it was all mechanical.
A fucking PowerPoint presentation now looks better than that shit.
It's true.
It's crazy. But, yeah, you know what? I would... If I had the time... See, if I had the time, I would do it. Just for fun.
Mm.
And I would try to stick to the medium. Like, I wouldn't do, like, a YouTube channel on public. I'd be like, right. like I would do banana shit. Because that's what you have to do.
Well, that's that would be sticking with public access. Like, there's a whole sort of vibe that comes with it.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you ever saw People of New York. It's kind of like that. Like, here are real people, which you don't realize you don't see on TV very often. Mm-hmm. You know, real, actual human beings. It was good. It was good times. I'm trying to think of something that you could look up. Oh, you know, we forgot to mention one of the greatest examples. The phenomenon that still exists, Mystery Science Theater 3000, began as a public access show.
Yeah.
And that itself was another example of a show where they were using public domain movies that no one owned, so you could show. And
out of it.
If you watch the really early episodes of MST3K, it's just like the cheap puppets. They're in front of the screen making fun of it. It's very raw. It's very, like, there's a scene where he's supposed to be, like, in the beginning, he's supposed to be, like, in the spaceship. But he's just in the fucking editing room in the public access station. Yeah. It's very clear. And it's just all, like, and it's still around. And now it's almost back to where it was because it was on Netflix for 2 seasons. And then Netflix gave up on it.
Yeah,
and
now it's what, it's online?
It's back. It's its own, like, app. Okay. So you have to pay for it. But it's all those people, like Patton Oswalt's still in it, Felicia Day's still in it, Jonah. They have two hosts now. Like, half the season was Jonah Ray, okay. And then a female host, the first female host.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I haven't paid for it, so I haven't gotten it. But, yeah, that's a great example of, like, and didn't, I might be wrong about this. Did Jackass start that way? Or Jackass started as videos?
No, it didn't start as any of that. Jackass, I know what you're thinking of, and we'll get to that in a second.
Can't Kill Yourself.
That was part of it. It was like a bunch of different factions that the powers that be like brought together.
Oh, yes, yes, you're right. There was the magazine.
The Bam Margera's people were the CKY people. Then there were the people from the skateboarding magazines.
What was that called?
The fuck was that magazine?
It had like a simple name, like Big Boy or something stupid like that.
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Right.
And then like some people came from elsewhere. So that was like a mishmash. You're thinking of the Tom Green Show.
Yes. The Tom Green Show, which was Canadian. It was Canadian public access. And then it became a
MTV show. And its first season when it was on MTV was basically just them redressing the segments from public access.
Right, right. Which is why that first season is so strong. Because he had been doing it for years in Canada. So by the time they gave him the MTV show, he had a bunch of like the best stuff. But yeah, and I remember he had like that thing of like the buddy who's not talented. Like his friend.
Oh, Glenn Humpling?
Yeah. Who I remember he like put his friend's real phone number on the air.
Yeah.
That was fun.
What a show.
That's the kind of thing the thing that like it started in public access and then because that was always the dream, right? That someone will see you and say like, oh, I'm gonna actually give you a show.
Well, that kind of did happen. You mentioned it before, Chris Gethard.
Yes, he had 3 seasons on True TV.
Well, it was Fusion.
Then it was True, right?
Then it was True TV, and that got canceled.
Right, and he was on right after Impractical Jokers because they were such a big lead-in. And he wouldn't have them on the show a lot.
Yeah.
Because he was friends with them. It's like they were like trying to help, but like it never. I fucking loved it. I just recently rewatched all of the True TV stuff. Mm-hmm. It was to have something like that on actual cable TV was wild. But no one cared but me and some friends of mine. Yeah. Yeah. Tom Green. Yeah.
Tom Green. Remember, it's wild and people forget this. He got the first interview with Monica Lewinsky.
He did?
I don't remember. Not interview, but like the first post TV.
Yeah. Because
remember, MTV hyped up the Tom Green Monica Lewinsky episode.
Yeah.
And they hyped it up and hyped it up and hyped it up. And it was a total bait and it was a total bait and switch because it was a lot of him and her just like doing mundane things.
Yeah.
Like him taking her around and like, I think the main crux of the episode was like, helping him pick like what color his drapes are going to be or something.
That's amazing.
And then they do and the big ending is like they're out in public and they're like, oh, we're going to do a press conference.
Right.
And they do a press conference and he's like, big announcement. Me and Monica made a choice and we're going with blue. Like we're going with blue drapes. And like that was it.
See, that's the thing. Like it always was self-reflexive. It was always meta because it's TV, and we all, TV is such a part of American life. So it's like, now you get to make TV. Of course you are going to make TV about TV. Right. Of course you're going to go inside of it and tear it apart and talk and show something you can't, you would never show.
Yeah.
You know, even just the length of things, like TV needs to be fast. Like, they never go slow with something. Like, the thing you were talking about with the gas leak. Mm-hmm. Like, no cable show would dare spend that much time on one bit, basically.
Right.
It's incredible stuff.
It's great when you can get those moments, and then, especially with YouTube now, is that they do live forever.
Yeah.
So you can go back and see, like, some of the public access stuff. Like, from the 80s, from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the stuff where it's like, how did they put this on?
Yeah.
Like, just weird consumer affairs programs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, the stuff that was really the worst was the stuff that was, like, just straight-laced. And because you'd kind of be like, why are you trying so hard to mimic mainstream? You're never going to do it. Like, you're never going to look like that, so you might as well do something else.
Well, because they always, it was always this thing like, oh, well, you know, I guess this is another trope of public access. The people doing it because they feel like we're serving the
community. Right, right.
Where it's like, oh, we've got a debate tonight between the regional comptrollers of... It's like, what even is this?
I'll be honest. I still don't get what a comptroller is.
It's something with schools, right?
I don't... It's something
but then what's a superintendent?
I have no idea.
Because it's the principal and then superintendent... I only know that from The Simpsons. You got Principal Skinner and Superintendent
right,
Chalmers.
Right, right, right. I don't know what a comptroller is.
But then,
is.
Like, what's...
isn't a comptroller... Isn't, like, something... All right. You know what? We can't waste too much of the episode on our
stupidity.
Yeah,
now we're talking about comptrollers and...
That would be a great talk show, though. Just us talking about...
Next episode, we're going to dig into regional comptrollers.
But we're not going to do any research. We're just going to talk about what we think...
on what we think.
What we think a comptroller is.
What do you think a comptroller is? Like,
that would be great. Like, Jay Leno bit. Like, out on the street. Like,
hey, we need a comptroller.
Hey, what do you think a comptroller is?
The comptroller.
Well, this has been PCMC. This is itself a show made by just people.
Just people with a camera and dream.
We don't have a camera, but we do have microphones. This is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I was joined by Mr. Vin Forte. Yeah. Vin, thank you so much for coming on and talking to the kids, teaching the kids about public access.
Teaching everyone about public access, the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.